Hello, everyone. This is the last and final session at Jive World. You guys can all celebrate and clap and jump up and down or do whatever you want to. And we're going to end with a bang. So we have Brad Fitzgerald from Mattel. Before I introduce Brad, once again, housekeeping items, presentations are being recorded. We'll have the PDF available on jivesoftware.com in the Jive community. The only reason you should be using your laptop is to actually tweet with hashtag JW10 or your iPhone. So please just be conscious that these presenters are taking their time out to present here today, and please be mindful of that. We're going to leave 10 minutes for questions at the end. So we're going to have Brad go through his presentation and his story first, and then, you know, we're looking to get questions answered. So with that, I want to introduce Brad Fitzgerald from Mattel. He's community manager for their X Factor community, which is built on Jive, of course, and his presentation focuses on how they're using Jive for innovation and new product ideas. So 468 product ideas is you know, kind of the metric that I've seen in his presentation and that you'll hear about, is how they're encouraging innovation and translating that into products for Mattel. So with that, please welcome Brad.
Thank you. So my goal is to be as entertaining or as animated as possible to get you through the last session. I know I was just telling the folks here that I had this crash about an hour or two ago, so I'll try to keep it as entertaining as possible. As Namrata said, we have a community, internal community for our product development folks. We call it X Factor. Why X Factor? Because we started that name and we couldn't think of a better one when we wanted to launch, so we decided to call it X Factor. But our community is really focused on allowing our product development, global product development teams, so it's designers, engineers, even our marketing folks, consumer product integrity folks, giving them all a place to collaborate around new product ideas or reuse of old product ideas that may have not made it to market yet, and really doing that through the tools that Jive provides here. So just an overview of what I'm going to go through. I want to tie back to the imperatives we heard about yesterday. Yesterday, was it? Yes. Yesterday, and how it maps to what we were trying to do. In hindsight, those imperatives, now that they're out, they actually map to exactly what we wanted to do. So it's, I don't know if it's coincidental or planned that way, but it actually worked out really well. I'll show you the results just to prove out that we've actually been what we consider to be successful, even after only being up for less than a year. Our big success we're hoping will come, but we have some results that we're pretty proud of right now. And then I want to talk a little bit about our journey, how we got to where we are. I think the big theme that I hear from a lot of people is everyone understands the technology, but the cultural change or getting these things through is still the problem and still the challenge. I'll share with you how we got there, and then at the end, of course, go through some of our learnings. All right? So the imperatives. We mapped to three of the key imperatives in the employee area, one of which was accelerating innovation. We wanted to allow our brilliant designers, and they really are brilliant. You know, the more I get to know them, I just see the awesome things they do. Prior to my current position, which I'll talk about a little later, but I was in the IT organization. My participation in this project was as an IT business analyst. So I was the liaison for all the design and development folks, and I worked on helping them get the systems they need to make themselves successful. So I really get to see all the amazing ideas that they have, and now as the community manager, I can see those ideas build on each other. So that's really the first goal we wanted, was really to accelerate innovation. The next thing was to find expertise. We're a very big company, maybe not as big as some other companies, but as our product development world goes, it's fairly large. You know, I think we have about 1,000 to 2,000 design-oriented folks who are responsible for the product, and then another 1,000 or so that I think are marketing and whatever else to sell the product. And we wanted to make sure that they could find the right person to help them with their problem. Not every location, so our Mattel location in El Segundo, our Fisher-Price location in East Aurora, which is outside Buffalo in case you didn't know, or our American Girl group, they do what they do really well, but they may need some expertise in another location. They want it to have an easy way to find that. And the Outlook directory doesn't say that you're a model maker. Or it may say you're a model maker, but it doesn't say you do organic shapes really well. And we wanted to provide them a way in which they could, a tool in which they could do that. And then, of course, was just to build our community. We really wanted to make sure that the product development folks felt like they were part of the bigger picture. They're critical to our company. Product is what we sell. So making sure that they were part of a team and they could feel part of that community, whether they've been around for 20 or 30 years or they're brand new, we really wanted to do that. So some of the results we have, you know, I think you see this a lot, and this is the easy ones to get, which are the number of discussions you have, the number of blog posts, the number of documents, the number of challenges. The challenges, by the way, are what we use for our brainstorms. We took the social group functionality and we rebranded it as a project challenge, and that's really a brainstorm. Since November when we launched, we've had pretty good success. And the challenges, these numbers have been accelerating in the last couple of months. We've been really focusing on communicating what the value is. But ultimately, what we're really looking for are product ideas. And we've had a lot of great product ideas come out in these challenges in the last couple of months. And when we count product ideas, I know because I counted them, and right now I go through manually and sort of count the ideas. We're not counting, you know, one designer says, here's an idea. Someone says, make it fly, make it green. Those are all one idea. We count unique ideas, and we've had 468. So it's a significant number, you know, and the speed with which some of those come in are really great. And I have a quote on that. So we're happy with the results we're getting. Are we going forward? I'm getting an error. Let me just see if I hit return here. Uh-oh. We'll figure that out. So we're getting great results from our metrics, but really what's just as important is what our users are saying. So we've asked all of our designers and developers, and they have a success story, to share it with us. And we created a discussion that says, share your X Factor success. And it's been pretty easy to actually go ahead and ask them. Like, they'll send me an email and say, hey, this was really great. Thanks for your help, because I've kind of helped them along the way. But ultimately, I ask them, can you just copy and paste that into this discussion? Because we want to make sure that if they're happy, the review is not coming from me or from their manager, but it's coming from them, someone they may respect. So, you know, the first ones we got is, you know, using his X Factor is easy. There's so much to gain. You know, he had a great experience, and there's so much to get. I recommend starting a project challenge to anyone he wanted diverse solutions. So he had a great experience. His challenge was actually really awesome. And he was so excited. We're like, can you just share that with the community? So when it's coming from the designer, they really respond. This is another one very early on. They wanted some 3D geometry. It was actually for an iPhone. They were like, I just want to have that in my files. Who has it? Asked a discussion, and someone said, oh, I have it here. You know, they pulled it off some website they found. This one is really great. This was a challenge that someone had set up, and she set it up. I helped her get it started. And she went off site, and she came back, and she had 50 new ideas. So we sent out a new communication, saying there's a new challenge out there, and the activity just went crazy. You know, I think she ended up with almost 50 ideas after we let her run for 2 weeks. But the response on this one, because they related to the idea, and they weren't just from our El Segundo location where this person's from. It was from our East Aurora location, other locations. They had they felt compelled to jump in. And some other ones, you know, this person just got a contact to chase. They said, who do I talk about this? And they said, go talk to so-and-so. And there's another one here about she was looking for an expert in our chem lab around color change materials. And so there was the person who helped with the Hot Wheels color shifters. I don't know if you're familiar with toys and you follow them. But the person who knew that could now advise her. So the conversation didn't necessarily happen in the system. The conversation about finding the person happened, and then they took it offline, which was really great. Now, ultimately, where are we leading? We're leading to innovative products. You know, we've had some real successes in the last couple of years with these great products. I don't know if you're familiar with any of these, but I just think they're really awesome, like the Barbie fingernail printer. I know you saw this morning where they had the custom fingernail done. The Barbie fingernail printer came out last Christmas, and it was a huge success. Really interesting. You can upload your own pictures and do your own designs and just print your fingernails. This smart cycle, the Fisher-Price folks are really trying to combine, you know, video games with exercise, and they come up with this crazy bicycle that kids can, you know, play video games on. An IXL. This MindFlex one is you put the headset on and you think about it, and the ball, there's a fan in there, and the more you think or concentrate, the ball floats up and you run it through these little things. Spike, which is just a robot, and then this new one, which is really awesome, is a Barbie video girl. So she actually has a video camera in her necklace there, and the girls can, you know, they can do Barbie's wedding or put her in the car and play around. So it's really sort of mashing up all these ideas and coming out with something totally new and totally different. The great thing about these products and their innovation is that they're usually higher price points and there's very little competition around them. And that's a key reason for why innovation is so important for us. So our journey. In order to understand the journey, you kind of need to understand the toy business. We have a very unique set of constraints around what we're trying to do. Kids are getting older, younger. So, you know, Barbie used to be for the 12 to 13-year-old. Now, much younger girls play with Barbie. So to try to extend that, you need to find something that really engages them. We're primarily a fourth quarter driven business. We do most of our business in that holiday season from now through the end of the year. So it's really critical to have the right product at the right time that the market's going to respond to. We're seeing more consolidation of our customers. So the Walmarts and the Toys R Us and the KB Toys disappeared. We don't have as many people to sell to, so it becomes another constraint. Of course, what everybody's looking at, which is electronic distractions, whether it's your phone, video games, whatever, these are also competing for the attention of our market. And then I don't know anyone who either has a kid or knows a kid knows that they're the most fickle human beings on earth. What they like today, they don't like tomorrow. So it really causes an issue when you want to try to create a product a year and a half to 2 years in advance for a market that doesn't know what they're going to like tomorrow. And then to top it off, everything has to be cheap. We have a consistent, historically low price point that, you know, people expect to don't want to pay $300 for a toy. They're willing to pay $20, $30, $40. So with all of this combined in, the one way to compete and fight against that is really for innovation. So innovation is paramount to what we're trying to do. And it's the key factor in this story of X Factor here. The story really started about 2007, 2006, 2007, when we did an internal employee survey. And amongst other things, they ask about your benefits and the vacation policy and how happy are you. They ask the question, what do you think of our products? What do you think of the type of stuff Mattel is producing? And our own employees were saying that they didn't think our stuff was as innovative as it could be. They said we did great stuff, but not as good as it should be. You know, interestingly enough, we just did our employee survey just launched this year. We do it every couple of years, and there was questions in there about our product. So they want to know what the key stakeholders of the business, they want to know, the employees, they want to know what do you think of our products? And the feedback wasn't so great. Simultaneously, they also did an internal study on innovation. They wanted to know what's going on at a deeper level with the folks who are involved in the process of product creation. And the study came out and basically said that, you know, a lot of the designers, a lot of the folks who were creating the products felt that they couldn't be as innovative as they wanted to be, or that there weren't processes for this longer-term innovation. There wasn't a way to collaborate and connect with the other innovative folks around. So these were sort of the two precipitating factors. You know, and they kind of painted a bad picture. So we stepped back and said, well, what's going right? We wanted to understand what's going well. And our ongoing methods of innovation were the traditional methods of brainstorms, you know, cross-divisional brainstorms, brand brainstorms, and then summits. And I think these are things that everybody does at some point in their business. We do them regularly. So every, you know, like the Barbie group will go do their fall brainstorm, their spring brainstorms. And there's a lot of value they get out of that. It's really important for the people who are involved in creating the products in various ways to get together face-to-face and talk about it. So there's a lot of great ideas have come out of that way. But the problem with these traditional methods are that there's limited participation. They're only periodic and they're costly. So you know, you may get great things out of it, but there's also a bigger risk or a bigger cost related to it. So we had a challenge now. How can we innovate around these sorts of things? Oops, I pushed twice. Sorry. We didn't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. We didn't want to say, okay, let's not do old brainstorms. Let's not do face-to-face stuff. Let's not do that. How do we complement that? How do we add to our brainstorm portfolio or innovation portfolio another method? And how do we address those challenges? So what they decided to do was they decided to make it someone else's problem. they decided to say, we need someone who's going to be responsible for figuring out how we can be more innovative, what methods, what solutions, what do we need. So they appointed a VP of innovation. Now, so she wouldn't, you know, be on her own. They created our design council, and our design council is made up of all of our heads of design and then some direct reports and some general managers, but the folks who are involved in the design process and key individuals, key decision makers. So they sort of created this structure, and it's an additional responsibility. The VP of innovation is now my boss, but she, all of the projects she works on, she runs through design council, makes sure that she gets cross-divisional support. But it proves to be a structure that was key in making this this process happen. And they decided to come up with a mission. And the goal of the design council, the goal of the VP of innovation, was to facilitate collaborative product innovation and a vision across Mattel via shared tools, processes, IP, and information for sustained competitive advantage. We didn't want to create something that was we were going to do today and drop tomorrow. It had to be a sustained, something that we were going to sustain. So we had the person and we had the goal. Now we had to figure out a way to do it. So amongst the other projects that were launched was this X Factor initiative. We did some research, but what we were really trying to do is how are we going to create this opportunity? What are we going to do? We didn't know if it was going to be training. We didn't know if it was going to be, you know, a vendor coming in to help us do stuff. We had to figure it out. But we looked at four key things. One, we wanted cross-divisional innovation. We wanted to make sure that whatever we did wasn't going to serve the folks in El Segundo or just the Barbie group or just the Hot Wheels group, but is going to serve everybody. And about this time, I think the economy was starting to really tank, and we realized resources would be severely limited. We had to make sure that we couldn't, you know, set up a building, pull people out of their old jobs, which is something Mattel had done in the past. They had this project called Platypus, which was really interesting. They would pull someone out of their job wherever you were, whether it was a designer, HR employee, finance person, pull them into another function for 6 weeks, and you basically got to brainstorm. People loved it. The people who didn't get picked hated it. But it was very expensive, and we needed to make sure that our old initiatives that were very capital intensive, they weren't really options here. We had to do something with our limited resources. And we were really looking for greater diversity in the brainstorm activities. You know, these brand brainstorms. So the Hot Wheels group goes off and does Hot Wheels innovation or brainstorming. They weren't getting insight from the Barbie folks or the American Girl team or the Fisher-Price folks. So we wanted to say, how could we really include them in whatever the brainstorm was? And then last but certainly not least was, how do we find and connect our experts? How do we make sure that after this activity is done, we can still find the right person to do it? So those were our challenges. We started our project, and this is the IT piece of it. We finally decided it was going to be a system. We had social networking was really big, and we decided we need to do some sort of internal social network, but we didn't know what it looked like. So the IT folks got engaged, and that was actually the beginning of my involvement with it as the IT business analyst. We formed a steering committee just to really gives us that weight in the organization, especially the IT organization, the way we're structured. Having a steering committee was pretty critical. But what I did first was I got a pilot group of key users. I know, having worked with the designers and the developers and the creative folks, I knew that they were somewhat different in the way they approached things than the, say, an IT person. So I knew that the only way we could make this happen, since it was going to be their tools, we had to engage them up front and ask them, what do you want? And what we did is, so the pilot group we formed had varying levels of social skill. Some people were Facebook users, some people were Twitterers, some people had no desire or interest in doing that. And we needed to make sure, because they were representative of our company, that whatever tool we selected would fit all of those groups. So we pulled them together. I looked in the market and found several tools, and Jive was one of them, obviously. And I pulled together a couple and said, you guys are the pilot group. What do you want out of this tool? What do you want to do to meet these goals? And they listed all the projects they wanted. You know, we want to maybe create blogs or create wikis, and they kind of described that. And we ended up creating a scorecard and had them test those tools. Interestingly enough, and this is what I expected. I expected they were going to, you know, tell me what they wanted based on the activity they were, what they wanted to do. The thing that surprised me and actually delighted me, it turns out, was they said, we don't want any training on it. We don't want to have the vendor come in and give us, for this pilot group, give us a day-long training so that we know how to use the tool. We think that this tool has to be used by anybody. So if you're a new designer, you can jump in and use it. And that became our key metric. We really focused on usability. It didn't matter if the blog software had the best set of functions. They cared that, could they at least use it and get it done? Could they at least get started? So amongst all the other things, we went through this process and we scored everything. But the one that I leaned heavily on the most was really this usability one. And we ended up testing three. We only tested three because they kind of got tired of looking at all the tools. But the feedback was pretty clear that they wanted Jive because of its ease of use, its simplicity. The only thing they got, the only training they got was we sat on a sales call with some of the Jive folks, or I sat on a call for, I think it was 30 minutes to an hour, no longer than that. And they gave them an overview, just a demonstration. And then I said, okay, go ahead and play around with it. So out of this, they really got their what they felt was the right tool. And I was happy with what they picked. I thought looking at it from an IT perspective, it had a lot of the features that I knew that we would need behind the scenes. So the launch. You know, the project continued, and we did the standard IT process. I think most people are comfortable with that. But the thing that we were challenged with was, how do we communicate this out? We were, at this point, a group of 1.5 to 2 people. So it was the VP of innovation, myself, who was in IT, and then we had an intern who was working with her, who now is actually an employee. But we really didn't have a big staff. We didn't have a big budget. We had nothing. So we said, how do we communicate this out to our to the employees, to everyone? And we felt the duty not only to our product development folks, but also to the general employee public. We wanted to make sure that we loop back with them, that their concerns about Mattel's innovation capabilities were being addressed. So even though you may be in finance and you may not be using the tool, to give you comfort that there is something going on that is answering your question or answering your need as a Mattel employee, as a stakeholder. So we started the plan of building Buzz about midway through 2009. We were involved in the project. And then our web editor, who was our intern, we hired her closer to the launch of the tool. So those were two key things. For communications, like I said, we didn't have a lot of people, so we had to rely on what was already there. One of the things we did was our brands, all of our brands, Mattel, Fisher-Price, they roll up into one person who reports to the CEO, and he's our brand's president. We decided it would be really fun to have him fill out a profile, you know, the employee profile. We wanted, and it was, I put it in quotes because the system wasn't live yet, so we had to use our mock-up. But we sat down in his office, and it was really awesome because he's on the top floor of the tower, and he's toys everywhere, like every toy you could possibly want. So I was really, really, it was really cool for me. And he actually worked on a toy that I had as a kid, this Fisher-Price My Buddy doll or whatever. It was a doll for boys. And he's like, oh, I remember that one. And we ended up having a conversation about a toy. So it was really fun. But we sent this out via regular email to the folks who were going to be part of X Factor. We sent it out. And the thing that was really interesting was they looked at it and like, yeah. And we asked what his expertise was, and he just put everything. And they all thought that was kind of funny because he was everything. But the thing that resonated with folks was what was his favorite movie and his favorite book. They it humanized him. It made him part of the community. You know, he started as a designer. He worked his way up. So just because he's an executive doesn't mean he forgets all the design stuff. So people really resonated with that. And it was really fun to hear people talk about that. We leverage heavily our Mattel corporate communications. We have a weekly corporate communication email that comes out, just general employee news about stuff going on, discounts and that sort of thing. We stuck in a little note in there about X Factor. There's a quarterly newsletter that goes out. It's sort of the longer, more in-depth stories about what's going on around the company, any sort of, you know, service initiatives, like when we do Special Olympics stuff. There's usually a feature article in there. We got a place on that. And then on our intranet homepage, we put another blurb just to try to let people know that there was something happening. And then what we do I don't know if this is standard every company, but the last two companies I worked at, they didn't do it. We do our quarterly updates of what our financial performance is. And we took that opportunity to get in front of the global audience and discuss X Factor, really, again, reporting back to the global community saying something is happening around creating more innovative product. And that actually was about a month before we launched. So we were really trying to ramp up all of our buzz and make it happen. This is one of the things we used. We settled on this tagline of what's your X Factor? What's your magic that you can add? And really the key there was your. We wanted to make sure that the folks who were being asked to be part of this it wasn't about the tool. It wasn't about the technology. It was about you. It was about you and what you can provide. You know, your sense of community. You are part of this this group of global product development community. So To launch the tool, I really pushed, and this was my add to the program here. I really felt it was important for someone to go and get in front of all of the designers and all of the product development folks, the 1,000 users we had, and say and give them an overview and say that this is what we're going to do and this is why we're doing it. We did it was a 90-minute presentation training on X Factor, and it wasn't. I did a demo of the tool, but I didn't walk through, and people weren't sitting with laptops. But the reason we did that was we wanted to make sure that they understood that this was important, that someone, that the company was willing to spend the money to fly someone out, to get in front of them, to talk, and to show them, to build that trust, like we heard yesterday morning. The truth was we built the trust as this is not just another IT system that's going to be brought up and then forgotten about 6 months later. This is something we're really serious about, and we'd like you to engage you. We didn't win everybody over by any means, but I think it was really important. We got a lot of attendance. And attendance says a lot at Mattel. People are so busy that they'll just not come to the meeting. And I think our metric on we had about 85% of the people came. And the folks who didn't come said, oh, I really wish I could have come. Is there going to be an update? So we started in New York, which is for logistic reasons where the VP of innovation was. We trained the folks there. And then we made our way around the rest of the U.S. to our Fisher-Price location, the American Girl folks, and then, of course, to El Segundo. And when we launched it, we made sure that there was a key name executive at the training sessions to kick it off. So in El Segundo, we had one of our general managers there who was on our steering committee. We said, we really would like you to do this. And it was a lot out of his day to come to the four sessions I had on a Tuesday and then the four sessions I had on a Wednesday to train all the El Segundo folks. But having him there was really important for a lot of reasons, so that they saw him and they saw that he was connected to this and that it was important. We did training in Asia, and this was the part that I'm the most disappointed in. They cut the budget for me to go to Asia, and I really wanted to. Personally, I thought it'd be really fun, but I was also so passionate about it. I wanted to be able to get in front of the folks in Asia and to build that trust and build that understanding of what we were trying to do. But for logistics reasons and budgetary reasons, I think everyone understands this, I couldn't do it. So I did a train the trainer, and our performance in Asia, little side note, hasn't been as we've expected, and I think there's a couple of things going on, one of which is that, and the other is sort of a cultural worry about not being, you know, if English is your second language, I think that they're worried that it's open to criticism, even though no one would do that. I just think there's a fear there, and the challenge to me now is to figure out ways around that. But when they do participate, it's really awesome. The folks there see technology and trends and tools that we'd love to get that inspiration back to our folks in El Segundo. And just to explain to them, and East Aurora, and explain to them that how important they are and what the tool is being used for, I think is really what's missing there. But it will really work. So what we launched with was three areas. We called it We Complete Your Profile. And we asked folks to go ahead and complete their profile, and we try to explain to them what it's about. That it was skill-based, it's proprietary, it's just what we're doing. You know, it's all based on our own, the skills that we have internally. You know, so it's like a model maker, a soft goods engineer, but really specifically to Mattel. And that it's searchable, that you can use this to find your expert. What we told them, and this was our deal with them, was it will take you less than 10 minutes. And when we were designing the profile, we wanted to make sure that there was a number. We could say, if you just give us 10 minutes, and you can see the profile is fairly long because we have a lot of things. So I had to go through and explain to them, it'll only take you 10 minutes. I guarantee you that. So that was their first challenge. The other thing we added was this Ask an Expert, which I think is what a lot of folks are familiar with. We called it Ask an Expert because that's what the terms we had been using. But really, it's how do you find the person you need? How do you find the materials or the information, the vendor someone used for X, Y, and Z? That's what the function was. You know, some of the questions that have come up recently are like the color shifter one I mentioned. Someone posted a question, and you know, they can connect with all the people in various locations to find the person who will be, go talk to Jason. That's the answer they got. And that's fine that nothing else happens in X Factor if they just do that. But it's the efficiency that they get out of it. They don't have to go find a vendor, approve a vendor, you know, get someone who may know. They get the person internally who knows and can connect them with all the pieces they need. And then lastly, but certainly not least, what we have is our challenge, our project challenges, which are really brainstorms. And they can. The goal here was to explain to them that if they're needing the inspiration, they want to pull people together for an extended conversation. It's not a quick question and answer. That they can use this create a challenge to engage a group of global product people on in a tool here. And the thing is about as a toy in a toy company, we use a lot of the tools that I think are like other vendors use or other companies use. So for example, Gap probably uses the same soft goods design tool that we use. But because our product is this big and not this big, the ways in which we use it are different. So engaging your peers or people who understand those constraints is absolutely critical, not only to your success, but also the efficiency of that operation. Understanding that you can't do things a certain way up front will change the way you design something. And that's why it's important that they can assemble an internal team. And that has actually been fairly successful. This is one of the marketing slides we used just to sort of convey that idea. We wanted to make sure that because they were designers, they saw visuals of the tool, that the tool was not going to be another SharePoint IT-looking tool. It was going to look like something they're familiar with, that they're comfortable using. So to get them over that, we wanted to show them some of that. So finally, after this long process, which really ended up only being about a year and a half, and less than a year of project work, we finally launched on November 19, 2009. So it's the birthday of our X Factor. And the way we launched it, we just sent an email and said, go ahead and log in. We actually created an internal keyword so they don't have to type in a long email address. Just type in X Factor. The biggest thing we did for them, that the biggest reaction I got at the training was we told them, type in the keyword X Factor. They're like, okay, good, I don't have to remember anything. And then I said, you can use your network login and password. And they went, oh, thank God. They didn't want to remember another LAN ID, another password, none of that stuff. They were like, thank God, we can just use it. So we've had great success. Or I'm really happy with where we're going. I'd like to see us get a little further too. But post-launch, so recently, this is only within the last 6 weeks, I actually moved from my IT position over to be the manager of online communities. And this is supporting X Factor primarily, but also working with other folks around in the organization who would be looking to do online communities. It's something that I'm really interested in. I'm really happy to be able to do this because it's sort of the thing I was doing anyways for the last 6 months as a business analyst, because I felt it was so important and so necessary. What we're seeing in our brainstorms, really great stuff. Over half of our challenges, over half of those 39, are specifically related around product. So we've had like prelim brand brainstorms. The first big one we did was a Barbie brainstorm, and they were looking to use the tool as part of their brainstorm process. And we were so excited, and we learned a lot from doing that. Sometimes it's just specific lines within a single brand. How can we innovate an evergreen property? We wanted to do that. Or features of a single product. And then specifically, we have had some folks who are saying, you know, we want a new product in this area. What do you think? Where should we go? What should we do? Really opening the blue sky and just saying, go ahead and give us your ideas. So as I said, we've had over 450, actually 468 of these ideas were created through these brainstorms. The other half of the brainstorms we've had are other challenge types. So there was a room that the designers used that they didn't like the name anymore. So they said, can we use it to rename the room? And we were a little worried, you know, when they said, they're like, it's not really what we meant it to be, but okay, let's see what happens. We found that folks who were in their first time participating in X Factor on that brainstorm or on that discussion, we found them that the barrier of technology disappeared. They now said, oh, this was easy to use. It didn't matter if I messed it up in this team room naming thing. Who cares? But now when someone asks me about a product and I jump in, I know how to use the tool. So the great thing about these is it breaks down that fear factor of using a tool to do this when it's something, quote, fun. There's a team that's using it for their online workspace. Just the design groups are going back and forth and using it for collaboration. I think that's more of a traditional use, but for us, it's another use. You know, people aren't doing it all the time. We just had a summit in El Segundo for an internal summit, and we used it to plan the event. And actually, when the event was happening, I was blogging and posting pictures and giving the folks who couldn't be there a sense of what was going on. And then we have, you know, a place for people for digital tools training. We're posting links or tips and tricks on how to use the tool the way Mattel uses it and put that there. But the key thing here is all of these activities support our product development people. our audience of product development folks. So it's all geared towards them. It's their space. They own it. We're not doing any sort of HR stuff in there yet. Let me catch up on my notes here. So supporting X Factor, we do have ongoing communications, and this was something that was kind of an adjustment, but we've gotten to a rhythm of it, and it works out pretty well. We put together a monthly Top Factor newsletter, which is just an email communication that goes out. We haven't gotten rid of email completely in this situation because it's a way to bring people back in. But the Top Factor newsletter really sort of gives an overview of what's going on. We find that some of our folks, and I think probably some of you have this with your internal communities, is folks get scared of the emails and the notifications they get. And even though I tell them, and I told them in the training, that you can throw those away, they're just a notification, they're not like the email you get from your manager, they still kind of just, they don't like it. So a way to engage them is to make sure that we do this, and we make it very visual. This is like a web page look. We put a lot of pictures in it, a lot of images, so that the designers who are inspired by pictures, that they see that. When there's new challenges that we feel are of sort of importance or interest to everyone, we send them an email. And it's another big image with a link. That's all it is. And we've asked folks, do you like getting those? Like, yeah, it's nice to know what's going on, you know? And we use our corporate communication channels and our employee meetings, of course, to really keep that message about what's going on and what's happening in X Factor occurring. At Mattel, I think we're kind of lucky. We have this program called Rave Reviews, which is a HR-sponsored program, and it allows any employee to give another employee, there's different levels. One is a kudos. And if you did something great for me, and I said, you know, I was really appreciative of it, you took some time, I could send you a kudos, and you get a little certificate you could print out, and your manager gets notified, and you can take your certificate to the cafeteria and get a cookie. So we have that corporate reward system built in, and we said, why would we recreate anything? Let's just get a category in there for X Factor participation. And every department has a budget. So as you go up, there's the kudo and the applause and the standing ovation, I think is what they're called. They're worth more money. And I think the middle level is a $50 reward. And we asked for a budget allocation to give 4 to 5 away a month. And this goes really far. You know, from a corporate perspective, what is it, $200 a month? But it's huge in terms of gaining the people who are on the fence about participating and getting them involved. And we try to rotate why we give it. So it's not just for participation. We don't just do it for the person with the most points, because that same person would have the win every month. We try to rotate it. In 1 month, it'll be for the person who's the newest, who's participated the most that month. It may be for the bloggers, because we have a group of folks who are blogging pretty regularly. And maybe there's someone who did really great work or really relevant to whatever initiative is going on. So we try to identify those people, not just based on activity, but really by the content they're creating. Or if there's someone who created a really great brainstorm that sort of engaged a lot of people, we want to encourage them. What we also have started to do is if you create a challenge in the system or a brainstorm in the system, we say, who's the person you thought had the best ideas? And we allow you to identify that person. So we're now giving the people the power to recognize folks without it coming out of their department's budget. Let's see how we're doing on time. So what we're also doing is I've started doing updates at the design. So we have the design council and all the people that report to them. They're usually the heads of design or the people who are directing design work. What I've started to do is we meet with them and say, here's our update. Here's what's going on in the tool to get them to tell their employees that this is what they should be doing, that there's a lot of value in using this tool. So I demonstrate the value to them. So when their employees say, hey, you know what, I found this thing on X Factor, they say, oh, that's awesome, that's great. That I think that's the disconnect in a lot of organizations is the folks up here on the steering committee saying this is a great idea, and the employees down here are communicated they should use the tool, but it's the folks in the middle who are being told they have to get their work done and their employees who are asking them to use it. These folks need to be communicated to, and that's what this has really worked well with. I've seen the door sort of open with folks who were skeptical at first, and they say, okay, you know, like I'll allow my people to work on it or play in the tool. But then when they get something awesome out of it, they're like, oh, I love the tool. I can't wait. We're working on this X Factor work for me. I think you hear this a lot, is make sure you're documenting what's working. So if they have questions, I just send them a link. I say, here's what people are saying. Here's what people have done and gotten out of the tool. Here's the discussion. Plus, it gets them to go into the tool, which I like. Within the system, we're creating tips and tricks documents. As we hear the feedback on how do I manage the email, we told them how to create an Outlook rule, but we put that document or that step-by-step in X Factor, and we tagged it, you know, Outlook rule, email, notifications, or whatever, so they can find it there. They don't have to come back and ask us. And anything else they kind of complain about, we try to create a tip on how to manage it and put it in the tool. Training is something that's really important, and it's important to think about as you're using a tool like this. One-on-one assistance. So what I've been doing a lot lately is someone wants to create a challenge to get them over the barrier of technology. I help them one-on-one. It takes a half an hour, and I don't really do much, but I say click there. You know, I don't take the mouse and I say click on the action, see an actions menu, start a discussion, do that. Getting them to use the tool and just sort of encouraging them, like holding their hand once they get through it. And I never have to talk to them again, frankly. They know what to do now. But getting the people who were, because usually the brainstorm creators are maybe a manager and they're not a social, they're not socially, social network tool savvy. They kind of need a little hand-holding. And all the people who are in the brainstorm know how to use the tools. So we get them to get over their hump and get past that, and then they're fine in the system. And then sort of to create some guides. You know, there's just best practices around how, if you're going to engage people in a brainstorm, how do you keep them involved? And I what I do is I watch, I join every brainstorm and I watch what's going on. And when activities start, you'll get a spike. And then activity starts to trickle. I don't get in and ask the question. I ping the challenge creator and I say, you know, I see activities dropped off. You may want to do this. Say, give me more ideas, give them feedback, you know, redirect. We've had a really great challenge where they set up the challenge and left it really open. And the challenge started going down this path and it just seemed really expensive. And so I said, hey, you may want to jump in. And she's like, can we make it cheaper? Or can we do something else? What are your other ideas? And the group turned on a dime and started going down this other path. And she got, by my estimation, 15 ideas. There's this one stream if she wanted to go down, but she had these other ideas that she could pursue right away as part of her, you know, her target market price. So really helping the challenge creators run an effective brainstorm. And then as we roll out new functionality, we're trying to do some advanced users training, show them how to really use the tool. I think the metric we heard earlier about how not everyone uses the YourView customization, explaining what people can do with that and really making sure they can get, like the power users can get use out of it, is something we want to do. And then upgrade a new feature training. So here's some of the learnings we had, overcoming the potential roadblocks. I'll speed up so we have time for questions. What's really important is we had three key areas. So the executives were concerned about productivity, legal folks were concerned about IP protection, and HR was concerned about employee abuse. What we did is as we met with these folks as part of our standard process, I kind of got this theme, and I said, let's just talk about it. Let's figure out what your issues are and why are you doing that. And you really have to just say, tell me why. You know, all of those are very valid concerns, and I would hate for any one of those to stop a project that is as valuable as this. So we had to listen to them, and we had to figure out ways to meet in the middle. The thing that I found was the second bullet point there is they were really scared of the technology. These folks, they were like, well, what does it mean? What does this social tool mean? What is an RSS feed? What is a, you know, they didn't understand it. So the first thing I did was just told them, this is what it is. This is how you use it. And they kind of got comfortable with it. You know, and the Jive folks had given us a test environment. So I said, go ahead and play. I don't know if they did, but I encouraged them to figure it out. And we came to a consensus, and we figured out what would work for them. We did, the only thing we really did was in our rollout training, we addressed some of those legal HR fears. We talked about how the system can be moderated. We reminded the users that you're participating as yourself. So if you say something abusive, everyone's going to know. And we honestly haven't had a problem. No one has had an issue. IP and legal protection, everyone's very aware of that. You know, we work with a lot of inventors, and they're aware of when they can share that information with the bigger community. And we watch for that. You know, that's something we want to make sure. And then productivity hasn't really been an issue. It's been the folks who've started to integrate it into their day-to-day process have found that it helps their productivity. We haven't measured it because it's a tough one to measure, but it's something we found. And then what we also learned is a reminder to ourselves is we re-engaged those folks when we were looking at new features. We wanted to upgrade and add, like we're looking to add maybe video and ideation. And we said, let's just talk to them early when we're thinking about it so that when we're ready to buy and ready to move on it, that they're not going to be a roadblock. So we kind of get those out of the way up front. Lessons learned. Oops. So engage your users in your feedback cycle up front. That's really something important that we learned. And make the tool part of your daily work process. I found that when I started using the tool for planning and collaborating on that summit, I found out, oh, I really would like to do this, or how do I do that? And I found that in order to get things done, I needed to find the solutions, and I knew that there were other folks out there. So that's really, really important. Be a user, really, is the bottom line there. Encourage new voices. You know, we found that there were some designers who didn't necessarily participate, didn't hear from too much. But once they were given this tool, they're like, our top user in the system is this girl from East Aurora, and she blogs every single day, 3 or 4 times a day, and the stuff she finds is absolutely amazing. And the thing that's important about it is that it's relevant to the toy developer community. They're things that they will find interesting. You may not find it interesting, but they do. And she has found a voice and a way to collaborate and to participate in a ton of things using her blog. And there was someone who said, you know, I'm a little frustrated. My other job, I used to do these sorts of things, but here I only get to do this. And I said, get on X Factor. Participate in ways you don't normally get to participate. It's available for you. Be open to planned use versus unexpected use. That's the conference room example. Document your success. And then, oops, this last one's important. Encourage your executives to participate as users, not as executives. We had a challenge, and our head of Barbie Design jumped in and gave her opinion, just as a user, because she's a mom. She said, here's what I see. And that was really important. That was really valuable. Last slide here before we take questions. We have a team available to support, help, and encourage, and drive. And like before I was full-time, I would do this in my own time. I would see people in the cafeteria, and they're like, oh, how do I do it? And just help them. Don't be afraid to be the person who is the face of the community. I was coming back from the gym one day at lunch, and we have a shuttle that goes between buildings, and someone got on, and they saw me on there. Oh, it's X Factor guy. And it was really great. It made me really happy to be X Factor guy, because I knew that they knew me, and they knew that they could come help me. And I said, if you guys have any questions, give me a call. You know, I don't mind being that person. Luckily, things are going really well, so I don't get a lot of complaints. But I do hear their feedback, and I said, tell me what you think. I want to know what's going on. And this is really important here. Focus on the people, process, and your goals. Don't worry about the tool. Don't worry about what the tool is. And I think with the product you have here with Jive, you don't have to worry about the tool so much. You can tell them, what do you want to do? Do you want to ask a question? Do you want to share a document? Do you want to start a discussion? That's done for you, and you can really focus on your goals. When someone sits down and says, I want to do a challenge, I'm like, what do you want to get out of it? What's your goal? What do you need? That's really the conversation we have. It's not, oh, maybe you should do it in this document or add a blog here. It doesn't really matter. What you want is really the most important. Our recognition and our rave reviews really, I think, help drive the continued use. And getting the high-profile brands and people to use the tool. Our Barbie Brainstorm was our first big one. I think got a lot of people engaged. They know, everybody knows Barbie, right? So they wanted to jump in and give feedback, and I think that was a really big thing. So I don't know if you have at your company initiatives, brands. You know, it can be things like sustainability, green. How can we, you know, do that? Those things will really get people involved. We found that short timelines focus the activity for our use. When they're doing challenges, we try to do it in a 2-week period. Don't let it linger on forever, because then what happens is people just move on. And then I think I have 2 more bullets. The diverse participants provide better results, really encouraging the voice from other areas. We have traditionally, like a lot of big companies, have silos that have grown up, and really trying to find someone outside of that silo to participate is a really, really beneficial thing to the productivity you get here. And then the engagement really is contagious. I think once someone uses the tool, they're ready to use it again, as long as it's going to be something interesting and fun, you know. And it typically meets our goals of what we're trying to do. So this is you should see more about these. The Sing-a-ma-jigs. I don't know if you've seen those. You should go to YouTube and find Sing-a-ma-jigs. They're pretty cool.
Wow, that was quick.
Yeah.
Hey, we want to take any questions you guys have. We still have a good 15 to 20 minutes, so want to, you know, get the conversation going. There, our first person.
Hi. In your rollout training, did you have to go over details such as when to use discussions or blogs or documents, or did they pretty much figure it out and use it the right way?
No, and they still have trouble sometimes. We, in the rollout training, I did explain the sort of the analogy of what a blog is, what a discussion is, what a challenge is, And it's one of the first tips we created. Like, what is a blog? You know, we explained that a blog is your opinion, or not your opinion, but your voice, your contribution to the community. Some of them get it, and some of them don't. But ultimately, it's going to take time for them to figure it out. Most people have, but I was just happy that they would participate. So on some of our challenges, people put their comments or their ideas in a blog, and it's not really the right place for it, but as long as it's there, you know, someone sees it and someone will comment on it, or someone will even tell, hey, you should put this in part of the discussion now. Like, they start to self-police a little bit. But yeah, we did have to go over that with them.
Got Jeff coming. When you have offline collaboration events, like in-person events, mm-hmm. how do you bring that back into the community?
It's a good question. We haven't really addressed that yet. One of the things, the summit we just had, what we want to do is take the content and the presentations from that and make it available in the community. A lot of those specific brand brainstorm, when they get into the nitty-gritty of stuff, they may not necessarily be interested in relooking at that. We have another system that we use. We document all of our creation in. And we're sort of wondering long term, you know, do we do it in two places? Do we do it in one? And, you know, my opinion would be it'd be great to put it in here so that, because it's so much easier to find and you can comment on it. But right now, most of the times when they go offline to a brainstorm, that activity is sort of kept within the brands at this point.
Do you use Spaces in the tool?
We use Spaces, and this is one of the areas that I'm hoping to redesign. I think I've redesigned it throughout the conference. The way we structured our environment initially, and this is another good lesson, is that go with what you know and be willing to change. I think you hear that a lot. So what we did is we designed our profile, and our profile is very specific. So in the engineering field, it says, you know, electronic engineer, sound engineer, this engineer, that engineer, like there's a million engineers. What we did is from what our users were telling us is, I may have a question for a sound engineer, I want the sound engineers to respond. So we created what we call an expert group, which is just a space for sound engineers. What we're finding is that people aren't really using those as much, and I think they're a little confused as to how to ask the question. So we are using them. I'd like to redesign them to make them much simpler and much broader. And some of the folks here, I was talking to someone from the NetApp, the internal community manager. Yeah, I saw your tip, and how I can really get the activity of ask a question in a space, how we can get that activity to work a little bit better for us. And I don't think it's a functionality issue. It's really about a concept and communication issue. We have too many expert groups, and they're asking us for other ways to organize those.
Do you have a sponsor group?
We don't at this point. They're all open, and they're all available to everyone because we wanted to. It's really a space to ask questions. Once we get that activity going, I think it'll be necessary for someone to own it. And I know that there's key people who, I'll say, that person should own it because I know that they like to do that stuff. They're kind of that they're that type. But right now, because there's not a lot of activity, we don't. It's just me.
Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, your profile
Bart.
Is quite intimidating.
Yeah. Well, we found some people filled it out right away, even though we told them it would just take them 10 minutes, and we found some people haven't done it. Some people fill out the profile but don't put a picture up, and I think these are just people issues. And it's something that I'd like to readdress, you know, and look at and talk about and say maybe we should redesign it. You know, we went with what they were telling us they wanted. In fact, we added a bunch of fields in the rollout training. Someone goes, you don't have this up there, and we're like, okay, we'll add it in. You know, like if you think you need it and you're going to use it, let's add it in. But we found that sometimes the profiles are filled out and sometimes they're not. We're trying to encourage people to fill them out. You know, I created a report. We did get the analytics database, so I figured out a way to write my own report and to see what's not filled out so I can kind of go say, hey, you know, fill out your profile. We want to kind of nudge people to do those sorts of activities. But it kind of comes with the territory. It hasn't hurt what we're doing, but we would like people to identify themselves as an expert. The thing that we also found is when we said, identify yourself as an expert, they're like, what if I'm not really the expert? What do I do? And we, you know, what I told them was if someone asks you a question about it, you're probably an expert. You know, whether you're the expert or an expert, it's fine. Just mark yourself as an expert in that area. And that's kind of intimidating for them still. But
I think there's a question back here.
I got it.
I enjoyed hearing about your X Factor awards. Huh? What else are you doing? I mean, are you doing anything with status points or putting a badge or icon on any avatars? Just curious for...
We are using the point system built in. We did change it a little bit. We wanted to make sure... I think this was something that one of the Jive folks had told us was we reorganized it so that you go from your first level to your second level very quickly, but the next level takes a little more. Because we wanted people to feel that they did some stuff and they got some points and now they're... You know, there's something else. They're not just the base level. But the badges is something that I've really wanted to do. In fact, I would like to remove myself from the point process. I have to ask someone how to do that. Just because I don't want to see myself or any of the community manager people, you know, in that ranking. I'd like it just to be the designers. But we've been talking about, you know, how can we really build ownership or engagement, and badges is one of those things we'd like to do. So someone says they're a certified expert or they're... whatever, just to give them, I don't know, the status really matters to some people, and some people could care less. It's just people.
Brett, did you get any pushback from the managers who own the experts that are spending time on other people's projects?
Yeah, you know, and I think that was the big concern. And they still seem, like, I made a presentation to a group of design managers the other day, and they were like, oh, they must not have enough to do. But that's a mentality issue, not for the managers that I'm communicating to. And my response was, no, they're making time to do it because it's important, you know, and when you tie it back to product and innovation and collaboration, which they, whether they want to agree or not, they have to agree. It's really, they realize it's so important, and it's that cultural change that it doesn't happen all at once. Just because you've done it doesn't mean everybody's on board. You really have to re-engage and really hammer those people until they give in, because it's the right thing to do. There is still that concern, and it's just a matter of communication and telling the managers that we're talking to tell their people it's okay. So our goal is to make sure that those folks who are making those comments start to realize the value of the tool and what they're getting out of it. And frankly, what I see is once the manager of one of those people gets awesome ideas out of it, they don't say anything anymore. They realize the ideas. So...
any other questions?
I thought there was another one.
There is? Oh, okay. So I just wanted to wrap up with the party starts at 6 o'clock at Row, which is at 651 Howard Street. So it's a short walk, actually, from here. And 4:45 is when the closing keynote will start, and we have improv, and we have Reeves coming back, for those of you who saw the opening keynote. And you do need to get your badge to the party at 6 o'clock. You will not be allowed without it, just because we had a bunch of people gate crashing last night. So just making sure you guys know, and a round of applause for Brad.
Thank you.